Blog Talk Radio.
Well, say good morning to each and every one of you. This is Pastor Mike Healy with the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois. Just having a grand time. Today, the world recognizes fathers. This is Father's Day. Amen, somebody. We had Mother's Day in May, and here in June, it's Father's Day. So give the fathers some this morning. And those that want to be fathers or future fathers or grandparents and uncles and surrogate fathers, all those, we just praise today. And so we just thank God for what he's done and thank him for what he always does for us. We're going to sing a song, and today we'll have a prayer. And then today we will be dealing with Luke 22 and 1 Corinthians 11 with the subject matter, Do This in Remembrance of Me. Sing with me, Victory is Mine, if you remember that song. Victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. After Satan, death is behind, for victory today is mine. Joy is mine, joy is mine, joy today is mine. After Satan, death in the hand, for joy today is mine. I'm singing, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. Hey, I almost said, what, dear? No, we're on the other number. Marie? Why don't you call, is other people on the line? Call Joe and tell him because he was on and off, and then call Andrea. And then you have the other number, right? Okay. All right. All right. Good to see you, Terry Thompson and Arthur Ellison. Childhood friend, we're back to Dunlap. Give Dunlap some praise and some love today. All right. We're just a little bit behind, but we want to say happy Father's Day to each and every one of you. Let's start again. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I trust Satan, death in the hand, for victory today is mine. We're singing, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I trust Satan, death in the hand, for joy today is mine. Peace is mine. Peace is mine. Peace today is mine. I trust Satan, death in the hand, for peace today is mine. We're singing, love is mine, love is mine, love today is mine. I trust Satan, death in the hand, for love today is mine. I'm singing, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I trust Satan, death in the hand, for victory today is mine. Amen. Just love singing. It just does something for you. One of my favorite songs. Oh, I want to see him. Anyone looking for Jesus today? Anyone really looking to have a relationship with God today? Oh, is he real? So real in my soul. As I journey through this land, singing as I go, I will be pointing souls to Calvary through the crimson flood. Many arrows pierced my soul from without within, but my Lord lead me on through, and I must win. And I'm singing now, oh, I want to see Him look upon His face. You know I'm there to sing forever. Oh, the saving is all the strength of glory. Let me lift up my voice. You know my cares are past, but hold at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, yes. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, for He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord, He goes ahead and leads whatever be tied. And I'm singing now, oh, I want to see Him, I look upon His face. You know I'm there to sing forever. All is saving, all is saving grace, all is strength of glory. Let me lift up my voice. You know my cares are past. I'm going to have it last, ever to rejoice. Now when before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep, and He leads me gently on to this world below. You see, He's a real friend to me. Well, I love Him so, and I'm singing now, oh, I want to see Him, I look upon His face. You know I'm there to sing forever. All is saving grace on the street of glory. Let me lift up my voice. You know my cares are past. I'm going home at last. Ever to rejoice, and I'm singing now, oh, I want to see Him look upon His face. You know I'm there to sing forever. Oh, the saving, He's saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift up my voice. You know my cares are past. I'm going home at last. Amen. Just one more before we have our opening prayer. Good to see a big jealousy yelling now. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Said I just want to thank you, Lord, for you've been so good. Good to me, I know you've been, can you testify today? So mighty, mighty good to me, I know you've been so good to me. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for you saved my soul. Yes, you did. I know you saved. You saved my soul. I know soul. And I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Again, I want to say good morning to each and every one of you. Those of you that are on conference call line, on Facebook Live, we are on to a new number now. We're on Blog Talk Radio Live. And so that phone number will be for those of you that will call in. Arthur, if you'd like to call in. Terry, want to call in. Brittany, you want to call in and have some conversation about the message, even if you're seeing it on Facebook Live. But you want to call in and we can dialogue on what you hear, what you know, what you think about from the lesson. Dial this number if you would, please. We'd love to talk to you even today. My childhood friends and my school buddies, even Terry Thompson, they seen me since these times. 619-924-0767. Brittany, you as well. 619-924-0767. So that's the number that you call in, and you will be able to hear us on Blog Talk Radio. It will put you on mute right away, and then at the completion of the lessons, I will bring forth so we can talk and find out how the messages work with you, how things are going in your lives, and how God is doing some great things with you. All right. Honey, if you would bring the communion in to me today, here right now, that would be great. I see you all. And let's have our word of prayer, if we would. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives. Thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us from the beginning of life until this present moment. Father, we thank you for food, clothing, and shelter. Thank you for just the ability to have the reasonable portion of health and strength and just the magnitude, Father, to just be able to love and to be able to experience what life is all about. Father, we come to you today the best we know how, because today the world recognizes fathers, and we're so thankful for, we may be an uncle, we may be a daddy, we may be a cousin, we may be looked up to by some neighborhood kid, maybe a mentor to somebody, or we may even have family of our own, Father, or we may be giving honor to our parents, our father, our grandfather, our great-grandfather, our uncles, our cousins, and those men in our lives that have done some great things. Father, we just ask you to continue to bless them. Myself personally, praying for my brother Bush, ask you to continue to strengthen him. And we ask you, we're thanking you for this day, Father, saying happy Father's Day to him. To Michael Edwards, want to say happy Father's Day to him, two men that looked up to as a child coming up. Don Berry, say thank you, happy Father's Day to him. Oh, I just go on and on. Here in Chicago, my stepfather, Moses Rudis, want to say happy Father's Day to him. Okay, and bring in the communion, if you would, dear, at this time. And then would like to say happy Father's Day to Luis Lugo, my father in the gospel. Happy Father's Day to him, to the late Nathaniel Dean. Happy Father's Day to him, the man that baptized me, the late Cardio Harper. Lord have mercy, happy Father's Day to him. The man that really got me on fire, got me started on this pathway. And there's so many. Say happy Father's Day to Big Joe Thomas, to Herb Walker, to Rick Jazz, to just on and on and on. The late Terry Morissette, to Daryl Jones, and just so many fathers that we just want to say thank you to. And then all the brothers out there, not only in Radio Land, but just this is the day of tribute, that you just look to those that have done some great things in your lives and you just say thank you. So, Father, we thank you for this experience. It's because we're scoped and we recognize that we're not who we are today without those that have paved the way for us prior to that. My uncle, Scooty, Lord have mercy. In my father years was there for me, the late Uncle Scooty, James Thomas. Happy Father's Day to him. Willard Thomas, happy Father's Day to him. And just on and on and on. So I just can't keep going on. But we just want to say Roger Pinson, want to say happy Father's Day to him. Used to have Italian ice with Roger and just had a great time. There's so many people. Just go see your life. And so just want to just lift up, take this time and make sure that you thank God for what he's done for you in your life. Good to see you, Kerwin. Good to see you today, Doc. Happy Father's Day to you. We want to just give God his praise. Today is the day that we're going to be talking about do this in remembrance of me. And the question is, what are we doing it in remembrance of? Well, Jesus, as we take a look at the dispensations of time, made an impact in man's life that man could not do for himself. There it is. And so we want to recognize that those up under the patriarchal dispensation, where God spoke to directly, Adam, Cain, Noah, Abraham, he spoke to them directly, Isaac and Jacob, right? But when we get into the book of Exodus, the people asked for a king. And so he raises up a ruler named Moses. And he writes in the 20th chapter and carves with his own fingers on stones the Ten Commandments. And gives them, and that becomes the Mosaic of Jewish dispensation, Jewish law. And Israel was to follow that. This people has to follow that. They had trouble doing that. And so, going through all that in the 40 years of captivity. Sweetheart, if you would give me the one on top of the refrigerator, please. Yeah, no. The new box of communion. Okay? Thank you. So what we see here is that God has a new covenant with his new people. So for 400 years, that's exactly it. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. And so in 400 years, he didn't speak to, and then John the Baptist comes on the scene. And we've been following John the Baptist and his as he came on the scene, and Jesus in his ministry now on Thursday nights. That's what we're talking about. And we're dealing with the Beatitudes now. We're in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, where Jesus is instituting his ministry. But as he goes on, Jesus' purpose for coming was to save those that were lost, to heal the sick, those that are maimed, those that are diseased, those that are looking second-class citizens. Let them know that God views them as people. He doesn't view them as the world looks at them as almost nobody, but God gives them value and wants them to be valued, not devalued. And so the purpose of the Lord's Supper, or the purpose of the Lord's table at Passover, is so important as we take a look at Luke 22, because before I get there, I want you to understand we're under a new covenant. And the cup, the blood that we're going to be taking, is going to be talking about this new covenant in grace and truth. So once Jesus dies on the cross, the old Mosaic dispensation, all those ordinances and all those laws have been nailed to the cross. And we're under a new law of grace and truth. Amen, somebody. And so, remember, Jeremiah 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. This one will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors of the fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, even though I had married them, the Lord's declaration. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. the Lord's declaration, I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I'll put my law on their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will one teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. This is the Lord's declaration. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sin. So God says, under the new dispensation, the new covenant that's instituted. Good to see you, Sister Belinda. Hold up your dad, JD. Happy Father's Day to him and the rest of the family. Garcilla and Veronica and all you guys, good to have you this morning. And so, with Jeremiah 31:31, we're going to be in Luke 22 and also 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 20 through 30. And so what we want to say is this new covenant is not like old. It's new. When you get a new car, do you put old onion skin tires on the mailbox? No, why? Because they won't be able to support the newness, right? And so God has given us a new dispensation, a new covenant, the Christian dispensation, the law of grace and truth. And this is the last dispensation. Jesus is the last prophet. He is the one who died for your sins and for my sins. And so we're so thankful for that. And so as we talk about the communion, as we talk about the Lord's Supper, actually the last supper that he takes before, he says, I will take it again anew with you in my Father's kingdom. We understand that the kingdom is the church, and the kingdom is the body. And there's only one body, Ephesians 4:4. So there's only one church, and there's only one faith that puts one in one church. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Amen. And so we all must be together. Jesus, there's so much division and denominationalism, and that's what we're going to find when we take a look at Corinthians, that's what was going on. And Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer is John 17. Jesus prayed that we all might be one. So let us today put down our pitchforks. Let us today put down our differences. Let's come together as believers, and let's believe what God said. Let's commune with God today and allow God to describe and to direct us accordingly. Amen? Amen. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And really, today, there's no reason why a person would not have a Bible or would not have a Bible app on their phone, because it's so prevalent in today's society. And then today, we're going to close out. We'll close out. We're going to actually take communion together, as we have been doing. But I was asked by my mother to teach on the purpose of communion. And so, because some people, there's so much division, so much misunderstanding, I'm going to give you the Bible verses and the Bible version, and then you can take a look for it and investigate it for yourselves. Amen, somebody. So if we look chapter 22, fast forward to me. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. The festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was drawing near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death. Look at that. Because they were afraid of the people. Why? There was a multitude of people. When Jesus taught, people flocked to him. When he healed them, they stayed with him. They flocked to him. And so now there's so many people that even the chief priests, those religious figures, got a little scared because they was outnumbered. So they wanted to do some dirty work when the people weren't around. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, right, and was numbered among the 12. He went away and discussed with the chief priests and the temple police how he could hand him over to them. They were glad. Their little diabolical plan came forward. They were glad and agreed to give him silver. You know, Zechariah 1:26 said it was 36 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver, excuse me. And so he accepted the offer and started looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus to them when a crowd was not present. See, when Satan enters you, you no longer are following God's protocol. You're being driven by a maniac. And so now Satan's in Judas, who is the treasurer of the disciples or the apostles. But so it's going to show you that God can be with anybody, and Satan can get in anybody that allows him to get in. Verse number 7, we'll see a mission. Then the day of unleavened bread came when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed, and Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go in and prepare the Passover meal for us so that we can eat it." Okay? Let's take a look at the meal so we can eat it. He said, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" They asked him. He said, "Listen." He said to them, "When you enter a city, the man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters. Tell the owner of the house, the teacher asked you, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished room upstairs. Make the preparations there." So they went and found it just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, when they had the Passover meal, they also had, they had the actual meal, and then they also had the bread and the wine. Let's take a look at the Lord's Supper. Let's see. Now Jesus is going to show his desire, because he's going to say, "I long to eat this meal with you." We're going to see how it's distributed. Some of them call it the Eucharist. We call it the communion. But then you're also going to see some disloyalty, and you're also going to see some disputation. Verse number 14. When the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." What does he mean by suffer? He's going to the cross. His time is now at hand. He's getting ready to die. So this will be the last meal he has with his apostles, his chosen apostles, 12, before his crucifixion. And then he'll say he's not going to take it again until into his Father's kingdom, which is when he's risen from the dead. Okay? Look at verse 14 again. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So it's the fruit of the vine. Isaiah calls the grape wine while it's still in the grape, because grapes grow on a vine. Cranberries grow on a vine. It's the fruit of the vine, right? And so once it's put in the wine vat and pressure is put on it, the juice comes out, and that's what is the communion. Okay? Now, He also took the bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's our thing today. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay? He says, "Now, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said," they had ate, and now he's taking, now he's taking the cup and he says, "This cup is the new covenant, or the New Testament, or the new will established by my blood. It is shed for you, but look, the hand of the one betraying me is at the table with me. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. In verse 23, so they began to argue among themselves which of them could be the one that's going to do such a thing. They'll start talking about who's greatest in the kingdom. Now, let's get over to the 1 Corinthians. Because now, in Luke, Jesus has not passed yet. This is before. Now let's look after. After he's died on the cross, he's been resurrected, he's in heaven, and Paul sends a letter. He's conversing with the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would. And after he talks about instructions of head coverings, verses 2 through 16, then he's going to talk about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. Now, what I want us to see is this. In 1 Corinthians, there were Corinthian believers that were not observing the Lord's table as they should, just as we have that today. The beauty about the Church of Christ is that what we do is we follow the apostles' doctrine. Jesus trained 12. One of them ended up being allowing Satan to get in, and as we read, right? Sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. He was replaced by Matthias in Acts chapter 1, and then there was 12, and then on the day of Pentecost, which is Acts chapter 2, they were all in one place on one accord, and they and them are the same, okay? And then Paul meets Jesus on the Damascus Road. That's all the apostles that we find in the scriptures. So we are steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, right, in breaking of bread and fellowship, as we see in Acts chapter 2. And I will go back there before we end and show you where that's at. But here in Corinthians, we're seeing that there are people observing the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper differently. They separate in their own little groups. But you know, all of the cliques, right? And they share with no one else. And so Paul had to let them understand. Let me describe what the original Lord's Supper was like when Jesus conducted it in the upper room. Now, Paul wasn't there. But Paul got word as he interacted, right? And also Holy Spirit working with it. And so I want you to understand that it has threefold purpose. It's the purpose of taking the Lord's Supper, of the communion. How often we take it is according to Scripture. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And we find it in Acts 20:7. It was upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. So we know that at least on the first day of the week, they ate every day, and many times they took communion every day. But we have scripture verification in Acts 20:7 that when they came together on the first day of the week and they broke bread, the breaking of bread is also the understanding of communion. And we're doing this in remembrance of what Jesus did as he hung between two thieves on Golgotha Hill for you and for me. So let's stop separating into separate little groups. Let's stop not being open and sharing with other people. Let's see how Jesus really wanted it to be done. And let's start to follow that method. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. I'm not going to bring you no other doctrine. I'm going to give you what the Scripture gives us, and then you can make a determination for yourself. But verses 26 and verses 28 will tell us that we are to look back. We're at the cross. We're look inward at our own mind, our own conscience that condemns us. And we're to look forward towards the crown that God has for us. That's the purpose of taking the Lord's Supper. And then there's a penalty for not doing it correctly, and there's a profit for doing it correctly. All right? Let's get to the book. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 17. And I'm going to read out of this translation. You have yours right there. Now in giving the following instruction, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. They're coming together not to encourage one another, but there's some problems with, and there's not to lift one another up, but you're coming together to show distinction. That's not for the better, it's for the worse. He says, well, to begin with, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. There must indeed be factions among you, so that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. See, when you come in to have problems among yourselves, many times folks, they're not really there for the right purpose. You've got to have the right mindset when you come before a sovereign God. So even though you take it, you're not really there to eat the Lord's Supper. You don't understand the sanctity and the holiness that comes with this. It's not just something you do out of ritualistic behavior. It's something that you do thanking God, adoring God, and remembrance for what God has done for you. Look at verse 21. For at the meal, each one eats his own supper among the others. For at the meal, each one eats his own supper among the others. So one person is hungry while another gets drunk. Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or don't you... do you look down on the church of God and embarrass those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I praise you? I do not praise you for this. Paul says, I can't praise you for looking down on other people. I can't praise you for not being together, united, and understanding the unity and the sanctity of it. I can't praise you because you come together to get drunk and be married like it's a great party. No, that's not the purpose. And here it is. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also give unto you, or that which I also pass on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, when Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Happy Father's Day to you too, Leon. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant or the new testament established by my blood. See, there is no new covenant until the establishment is by the blood of Jesus. And when he sheds that blood, you do it in remembrance. Notice it says, this cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The purpose of taking the Lord's Supper on a weekly, first day of the week, resurrection day basis, because we're no longer under the Mosaic law, we're under the Sabbath day, but now we worship on the first day of the week, the resurrection day, the getting up day. And so, on the same day the Lord, that he was going to die, he had his supper. And so we worship him because of what he did, because he died and he rose, right? And it pierced him in the side, and out flew blood, out came out blood and water. Notice verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the sin against the body and the sin, the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself. Can't look to nobody else now. This is personal between you and God. Eyeball to eyeball, written to the written. So a man should examine himself in a way he should eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks and drinks judgment on himself. This is where I'm in here sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. But if we are properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we may not be condemned with the world. You don't want to be condemned with the world. What you want is God to take you to heaven with him. And so Acts 27, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, the Apostle Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 23. Again, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. When God says do, you do. And you do it in remembrance. It's remembering. It's moral, memorializing. It's bringing back, and it's fresh. And I remember even today, I'm looking back at what he did when he took all the ridicule and they spat on him and he hung on the cross. I look at inside of my own conscience. It must be clear. I must have a clear conscience as I take the Lord's Supper for what he's done for me. And then I look towards the future because he has a crown waiting on me. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I'll give you the invitation. We'll take the communion, and this lesson will be yours. Acts chapter 2. I want you to see that. Start reading in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, and they were all together in one place, suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing mighty wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each of them. And remember, the them of the day, that's the 12 disciples. Right? One that's replaced Judas. Makes those is Matthias and the 11. You can go back to the 26th verse of the first chapter. But then they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. So 11 plus 1 is 12. So now they're in the right position. All right? Verse 5. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused or confounded because each one heard them speak in their own language. See, tongues are not gibberish, their language is to be understood. And they were astounded and amazed, saying, look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And how do each of us hear in our own native language? In their dialect, the dialectus, they were able to learn and they were able to hear. Now, at that point in time, there were only about eight languages that were spoken. So if you have 12 apostles, each one speaking a different language, with a group of people, say you're in a foreign country, when you hear someone speaking your language, you may just gravitate to that. That's a possibility. Or the Holy Spirit has made it clear that they learned language, that they spoke languages they never learned before, never spoke before that day, right? And it was, and the people understood it. It was not gibberish, and it was clear. Today, and we'll find that also in 1 Corinthians, that we no longer have those spiritual gifts. They're no longer in place today because we don't see through a glass dim any longer. We have scripture clear to us. Let's move forward. I want you to speak Galileans, and how we hear that in our own language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and in the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, priests and Arabians, we hear them speaking the magnificent acts of God in our own languages. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this be? But some sneered and said they're full of new wine. Thought they was drunk, right? But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, men of Judah and all the residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning or the third hour of the day, your translation may say. They didn't get drunk that time, but, you know, today they just 24 hours. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will come to pass, and it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And I will even pour out my spirit on my male and female slaves in those days, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and the cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and remarkable day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When did the moon turn to blood? Amos tells us when there's a new change. When did the sun become dark at its highest point? 6 hours a day, when Jesus hung on the cross. That's when there was an earthquake. That's when there was a dispensational change. That's when the soldier looked up and said, surely this is the Son of God. The Mosaic dispensation was, after he died, was no longer in place, and now the Christian dispensation has come into effect. Verse 22. Will Israel listen to these words? This Jesus of Nazareth, who a man pointed out to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs, that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though I was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to the cross and kill him. God raised him up. You killed him, God raised him up. You killed him, God raised him up. Ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, I saw my Lord ever before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken, therefore my heart was glad, my soul rejoiced, moreover my flesh will rest in hope. Because you will not leave Hades or allow the Holy One to see decay. You have revealed the paths of life to me. You will fill me with gladness in your presence. Brothers, I can confidently speak to you about the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us on this day. Since he was a prophet, and he knew that God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing this in advance, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. He was not left in Hades, and his flesh did not experience decay. God has resurrected this Jesus. We are all witnesses of this. Therefore, since he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out on what both you see and hear, for it was not David who ascended into the heavens, but Jesus himself. The Lord declared to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly or certainly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. He's both Lord, Adonai, and he's both the Messiah, Christ, the anointed one. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Well, they came under deep conviction and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Brothers, what must we do? Repent, Peter said to them, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all them who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call unto himself. Verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, save yourself from this corrupt, untoward generation. Look at verse number 41. So those who gladly received, those who accepted the message, were baptized. And on that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine,
which is the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to what? Breaking of bread, and to prayers. Right? Then fear came over everyone, and many ones and signs were being performed by the through the apostles. Right? Now, for the purpose of believing, and all things were in common. Let's go down to verse number 46. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude. So you can't get sad folk to do what all the glad folk are doing. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Every day the Lord added to them, which was the church, daily, those that were being saved. So, if you want to be, and if you are following the church, following the direction, you have to follow God's method. Look back to the cross, look inward at your own conscience, if you have a clear conscience, and you look forward to your crown. Let's take the Lord's Supper at this time. Father God, we thank you for this bread and wine that you have given us. We thank you for this cup, which is your shed and blood. And we thank you for this bread, which is your broken body. We pray we take it with a clean hand and a pure heart as we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. The bread signifies the body of Jesus. We are to take the body, which had no bones broken, but the stripes of blood. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. The cup, which is the shedded blood of Jesus. The fruit of the vine. No cocktail is 100% fruit of the vine. We take it in remembrance of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. As you take it, Jesus takes it. Because he does it anew in his Father's kingdom. We trust and pray that this lesson has blessed you. And we're going to have a closing prayer. And then we're going to go to the conference call for those that may have some comments about the lesson. And if you have a prayer request, I want you to call in. If you want to talk so we can hear your request, you can call in right now if you would. 619-924-0767. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. Thank you for what you did for us on Golgotha Hill. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, 619-924-0767. 924-0767. Let's go to the line at this time. Big Joe, how are you doing today, Doc?
Oh, Doctor, happy Father's Day, man. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you too, sir.
It's all right. It's all right, man. Just like, you know, Mike, I like fought so hard to spend this day with my son, man, when I go see him. I mean, like, man, everything try to come at you, man. But I said what people don't understand from his mother to Teresa, my son wants to be with me on Father's Day. We ain't trying to X nobody out. We ain't trying to do that. But from the time that I don't have that much time to spend with that child that was created by his mother, well, here it is. He said he don't want nobody to be with him today, it's his daddy. You know? And I know my Teresa, she said, well, ain't what I'll be invited to do. I said, I hate to tell you this, but I know. I ain't trying to not invite you, but I'm going to honor him because I praise the Lord for me to have this day, and he's been blessed me with this day. I'm up, I'm alive, it's me, my son, and the Holy Father.
Amen.
You know, and I love it.
Amen.
And listen to the lesson and seeing that it's like, you know, me going back out, and when I go out into this world, and the people that agree with me spiritually might not be the people that agree with the Lord.
That's right.
You know, and
right.
I see that I can see the eyes. Oh, yeah, you know, the Lord opened your eyes. They get weeded out. They get weeded out for sure. You know, and I said, okay, well, man, I'm going to pray for you anyway. Go on, let's go on. Let me go. This is my relationship with the Almighty. I don't know where you're going, but I got a few friends that's on the same boat with me. You know what I mean? So there you go. I know my brother, Pastor Peavy, we look at things the same way because we read it, we study it, we figure it out. And it's one way and one way only, dude. You can't, I know you want to be, you don't come with another angle on me, you know what I'm saying? Because then you like, you got to show me what the angle that you're coming from, point it out to me in the book. You know, then, because you might understand something that I might not understand. But other than that, I think I'm getting full understanding, listening to my brother every day.
That's right.
You know,
right.
and my brother has truly been my keeper.
Well, I appreciate that, Doc. I try to be real, and God has been good to me. And you know, we've been through many ups and downs, and
yeah.
I can't. You know, if I love you, I can't tell it to you wrongly. And I'm glad to see that you are experiencing the same love from God that I'm experiencing. And it's just He lathers us with love. And so we're going to pray for that situation, man. You got any other prayer requests? How's Teresa doing today?
Teresa, she's going to be with her dad today. You know, going and out, you know, down to the church, be with her dad. You know, I'm in the city. I just want to definitely like how we was talking with my brother. You know, how we talking about my brother. Just give him a prayer and a shout out, man. And just the whole thing, you know, like how we pray, like, you know, Lori's opening her eyes. And just, you know, let's stay on that journey.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. My wife's on. Do you want to say hello to her, Joe? Joe?
Yeah.
Sister Peavy's on, if you want to say hello.
Hey, oh yeah, right. You just buzzed out for a minute there. Hey, how you doing, sis? How you doing, sis?
Hi, Brother Joe. How you doing?
Oh, better than ever, man. Because one thing I know that I'm like the greatest father in the world. I'm talking to one of the greatest fathers in the world.
Yes. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, man.
Amen. Tyler, you got any comments on the lesson today? Any wisdom for us that you can help us with?
I just want to say that I am just grateful to the fact that the lesson was taught well, and I'm grateful to the fact that I was reminded how precious and powerful that blood of Jesus is, and how we come together in celebration every Sunday and giving honor for what He's done for us and remembrance of Him. And because of that, Michael, I have the church to pray for me and to forgive me and pray for me, that I make better decisions, that I do not minimize or make small what He did for me, and to take the walk of Christ and follow Him where He would have me to go, and just understand the power of the blood, the water, the everything that He's done, the sacrifice that He's made for all of us to come to Him. So that, thank you for that blessing.
Amen. Amen. Do me a favor. Give me a little more insight on the power of the blood as you see that. I love the way you said that, and the inflection. I had so much meaning. Power of the blood. What does that mean to you?
One more time, Michael.
You were talking about the power of the blood?
When we talk about the power of the blood, to me, that power restored us and restored us back to God, the Father. That power of the blood gave us for all our sin. That power of the blood was so much love and gave God so much glory because He loved us so much. That power of the blood, that Christ sacrificed His life for all of us, and had the opportunity to come together and just praise Him and love Him and then be under His, as you said, tutelage, as He commanded, no man way but God's way. And because of that power of the blood, we have the ability to go on our hands and knees and wherever and talk to the Father. Because of the power of the blood, we are so blessed. And that blood covers all our heads, as you talked about. When we walk, He looks down and He see the blood of Jesus walk over our head. And that, to me, is so powerful. And I just, when I think of that and I understand that, I just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Holy Spirit, for just loving me so much to make me part of that, to make me a part of that opportunity to go out and tell others about how good God is to all of us. I mean.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey. The cleansing power in the blood. We sing that song. But to really know what that means. You know, when you think about what Jesus did with a blood drop, it gives me goosebumps. Big Joe, you got any comments on that? The power of the blood?
Yeah. You know, it's like took the words right out of my mouth, took the words right out of my mouth. It's like you've got to, number one, if you're going to do this, number one, you must trust and believe what God has put, you know, what God has put you. God has put you the way, and actually, like, here you are. You open this book. You're starting to go into it. You're starting to go into the Word. You're starting to go to the Word. So you must believe that is the power of the blood. That is the power of, you know what I'm saying, where you being guided to, it's the power of the blood. Where you going deeper and deeper, that's the power of the blood. You know what I mean? And I just like, you know, like I say, the fear of God, I'm just shaking in my knees, just like, whoa, what's next? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, whoa. It's that deep, huh? It's like Discovery Channel, man. It's like you gotta come on, next week. Next week we going deep in this. Next week we going deep in that. Next week you doing that. The power of the blood.
Yeah. And you guys are hitting right on. And I want to do this because we're not just here. We're being broadcast and also in Norway. And I want people in Norway to know across the seas that, man, there's power in God's blood. And we testify for the goodness of God. We're not afraid to speak of how good God has been to us. And especially on Resurrection Day, I'm going to shout to the hilltops of life that there's power in the blood. You know, wouldn't you be free from your burden of sin? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Nobody else that died has that power. It was a Lamb slain without blemish for you and I on Golgotha Hill. See, I'm not superstitious. I'm not afraid. I ain't got to just say coward because I don't want people to think about the skull. I want us to observe all the ridicule and the hurt and the pain that Jesus went through for you and I, all the dirt, all the sweat, because if you don't look at the real humanity of Jesus, who is he really serving? He died on Skull Hill for you and I. I'm not glorifying a skull bone. I'm not walking around here happy about what they did to him. But I'm happy that God took what they thought was and resurrected him. So we had all the things that was typical in the Old Testament. As you see in Haman, they said that Haman built a guillotine, and he died on his own guillotine. They said that the chief priest, and they set a trap. Satan set a trap to kill him. They killed him, but they didn't understand in killing him, you resurrected him. When you pierced him on the side, you tapped into his power.
Yeah.
You went down into the grave and snatched the keys from Satan. Oh, grave, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? And now he's seated at the right hand of God. And if we have steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread every first day of the week. All we know is that every week has a first day. So if you want to follow the apostle's doctrine, by inference, by directive, or by command, follow it. Well, I want to take it once a year. Well, that's your choice. But you have to give an account. And it makes sense to me to do it the way they did it. So that way I know I don't have that problem to deal with.
Yes, Lord.
But faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. And without it, it's impossible to please God. Well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. God didn't have it for you to understand. You may get it better by and by. You may never get it. But the question is, obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm so thankful even today because the Bible says when two or three come together in his name, he's in the midst. Jesus is on this line today, folks.
all those on the conference call, on a Blog Talk Radio, that listen to this today live, and they will be listening to it Wednesday. All those that are on Facebook Live, although that's been closed out now, all those that are on Facebook Live, they review it and review it from this point forward, will understand what God has done for us. But we're not just anybody. We are God's children. And so we, it is imperative, it is critical, and it is important. We're in the ICU right now to know what it is that we must do in order to make sure that we're in the right frame of mind and worthy in order to take the Lord's Supper. And so I commend my wife who says, you know, I need to tune up something. And that's all of us. We all can take a tune-up from the neck up from this lesson. Ain't nobody bigger, ain't no bigger eyes, ain't a little used. When we compare ourselves to one another, then that's when we get into that division stuff that Corinthians was dealing with. Oh, I'm better than he, she's better than me. Who's going to be greatest, this and the other? But Isaiah looked up and he looked at the Lord. He says, man, I'm undone. I can't compare to God. And that's what we're looking to Jesus. For he is the author, he's the beginning and the finisher, the ending of our faith. He's Alpha and Omega. And I make him the beginning and ending of my life. Hope for some prayer this life. This has blessed you, that you've taken your communion today, that you give according to God would have you to give. We have an online giving at the Bell God, the Church of Christ. So if God has blessed you, then you know that you need to give back to him so that we can keep the ministry going. And that we will be able to bless another soul. Your seed blesses another soul. And you can't be God's giver. Malachi 3:10, when a man robbed God, oh, I didn't rob. He said, yeah, but you did through my tithes and offerings. Let's get serious about serving the Lord. We want God to wake us. We want to be serious about being awakened to do the things God has for us to do. Let's get serious about serving God and watch him do things that we won't even be able to see. Love you guys today. Happy Father's Day to all of you that are out there. But today we are raising our hands, our holy hands, and our bended knee, recognizing the one and only ultimate Father that's in heaven, God the Father. One God, one Father who is above all and all and through you all. And we're praying for Jesus. We're praising Jesus. Praying for the Holy Spirit. We're praising the Holy Spirit for what God has given us as a gift. It's a down payment. It's like getting a new pie in a holiday. And you just get you a little sliver. Get you a little piece of it right now. Man, that pie is good. I can't wait to bust into it. But you know what's waiting for you when you get back home. But they sent you a little piece of it right away. Well, God has given us the Holy Spirit, which is a down payment. It's just a little slice of heaven right here on earth. And if we follow the Spirit, the Spirit won't have us give an appropriate, won't have us walk in accordance, won't have us do anything we shouldn't do. It will help to guide us up the straight and narrow. And any problem that you have, take it to God with the Spirit, and God can handle our problems. I love you. You guys have a great day. Do for somebody that they can't do for themselves, and then help somebody on this day, Daddy's Day, is telling them who your daddy is. Jesus Christ. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. God bless.
God bless.